Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us once again on the heels of a big fight weekend. I'm Patrick Connor of QueensburyRules.com, and on here with me, of course, as always, is James Foley of BadLeftHook.com. James.
Patrick, what's going on?
Oh, man. I'm still feeling drunk from this last fight weekend, man, and we missed you last week.
I know, but it was a hell of a show. Who was that British dude?
Some random guy. He's just some guy
some
who joined us to. Oh, he just some random dude who joined us to fuck around. Pause.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, but other than that, great show.
Yeah, it was solid. It was real solid. And by the way, I wasn't kidding. I was shit-faced drunk on Saturday night, and I'm still shit-faced drunk, so hopefully nobody minds, because I don't.
Well, then your scoring of the fight 9-3 for Maidana makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it was solid. Man, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, we pretty much gave it away, obviously, because we were who thought that was going to happen? Did anybody, like, seriously think that was going to happen? Like, not at a comedy or anything like that? They thought that was going to happen?
Maybe some Argentinian dude somewhere. But not that I saw.
Well, by the way.
Which is weird, because usually there's somebody out there who picks, a couple people were picking Robert Guerrero. A few people thought maybe Canelo would do it. I don't think anybody actually picked Maidana.
Well,
not that he won the fight, but certainly came closer than anyone else recently.
Joel Stern is already calling in to join us. Let me patch him in. Mr. Stern.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
We are doing fantastic. Thanks again for joining us, man.
Sure, my pleasure.
So we were already diving headfirst right into this Mayweather-Maidana whole business. So tell us, what did you think happened? How did you score it, et cetera, et cetera? Blog it at us.
Yeah, I was told completely surprised that Maidana was able to do what he did. I thought Boy would be able to control the distance the whole fight, eventually pick him apart, and we'll have another Canelo Guerrero type of fight. But Maidana really brought it. As far as scoring, I scored it a draw, but I had several swing rounds, and I mean, I think you could go all the way 8-4 to Floyd, to 7-5 to Maidana. I think those were all reasonable scores. But, yeah, it was a surprising night of boxing for sure.
And just to reiterate really quick, just in case everybody's or anybody's sitting here listening in and going, who the hell is Joel Stern? Well, I'll tell you who the hell Joel Stern is. He's the assistant boxing coach at UC Davis. And I haven't seen anything from you for a little bit at the Sweet Science, but you're a contributor there as well. And so
just in case
anybody didn't know.
That's pretty much.
Yeah, and I saw you on CBS Sports coaching your guys.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, we had a good season. We ended up having a national champ who was also named outstanding boxer for the national tournament. So it was a good season for us. We had three All-Americans. So, as far as college boxing goes, it was a big success for our team.
Yeah, I would say so. I had to take a picture to commemorate the event.
That was my favorite boxing. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, it's nothing.
No, so really, go ahead. He had some super
story this week is really Maidana and what he was able to do in that ring and how he was able to make that fight. I think everyone going into that card was thinking that this was going to be another waste of our $75 and it's going to, it's just going to confirm our beliefs that this whole trend to pay-per-view is, you know, basically a junk train, and, you know, definitely upset that perspective.
Well, I mean, I'm, of course, going to be the first person to stand up and say, oh, that was a shitty fight card, and I didn't like it, and blah, 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 and all that type of stuff. It was better than I thought it would be, kind of like the Pacquiao-Bradley card. It was a little bit better than I thought it would be. I was really down on the undercard beforehand, and it wound up being a bit more competitive, a bit more entertaining than I thought, especially the main event. But the main event, in both cases, the main event was kind of the saving grace of the card in a lot of ways, and had, you know, either fight not been either, you know, fairly entertaining or whatever, I think that both probably would have been a little bit more of a bust than they wound up being. But as far as the main event goes, you know, I do have to say that I think that keeping a fight competitive with Floyd Mayweather, period, even if you don't win, even if, you know, nobody really thought you really won, keeping it competitive with a guy like Floyd Mayweather, even now, advanced age, that in itself, that's like a victory. I feel like Maidana should be holding his head high. I mean, what do you guys think about the result itself? Because, I mean, you know, words like robbery and stuff like that are always going to be thrown around when people feel strongly about a certain, you know, a decision going one way or the other or whatever. But, you know, would you guys agree that, you know, just keeping it close with Floyd Mayweather is good stuff in itself?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it boosts Maidana's stock up a lot. You know, he completely over exceeded expectations. I mean, there's even a minority out there that thinks that he won the fight. So, yeah, it was a great, great result for Maidana.
Yeah, I mean, his stock is much higher. I mean, he's a crude brawler that, you know, just came in and slugged Floyd. He obviously showed that he's far superior of a boxer than that. He showed Floyd multiple looks. He was able to cut the ring off multiple ways, be able to get in on him and keep him there. Floyd wasn't able to just turn out, you know, every time Maidana had him in. Even in the center of the ring, Maidana was landing jabs. He was seeing Floyd's punches. You know, obviously he took most of the clean shots, but it wasn't like in the Cotto fight, which was, you know, the next relatively competitive fight Floyd had. Floyd had, when the rounds that Floyd won, he was routing Cotto. You know, he was hitting him cleanly multiple times. He kept hitting Floyd or Cotto with the with that right hand around his guard over and over and over again. And by the end, he was in total control. You can't say that about this fight. And you know, that's a credit to Maidana's boxing ability, not just his ability to be awkward and come in and slug.
And another thing that I thought was really surprising, apart from the boxing part, which you just brought up, something that was kind of surprising, well, it ties into the boxing thing that you just brought up, but Marcos Maidana actually committed to a jab early on, and I thought that that was a big part of his success. I mean, obviously his jab wasn't doing a whole shitload of damage or anything like that, but it was allowing him to work his way inside without getting tagged, and he actually stayed fairly elusive, I guess you could say, for a Floyd Mayweather target early on in the fight. I thought he was avoiding a lot of the counter shots that Floyd was landing, and even the ones he was landing, he was able to take a little bit of steam off it by moving his head a little bit, and of course the ones that he did take, he took just fine. I mean, you know, not that Floyd Mayweather's a huge hitter, but he's the type of guy that, you know, he hits you so precisely that it seems to hurt his opponents, you know, because of the accuracy and because of the speed. And Maidana just seemed unfazed early on. He just seemed like he didn't really give a shit what was coming back and he was going to throw.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think Floyd was assuming that he was going to be able to dissuade Maidana with his accuracy like he's done, you know, Canelo and Guerrero and other fighters. But Maidana gave him enough looks where he couldn't get off clean early. And two, it wasn't going to stop him. He was going to go. I mean, what did he say? He said, I don't give a fuck who he is. I don't give a fuck who Floyd is. And people say that, but he meant it. And he believed it, you know, when he got in that ring. And I think Floyd, you know, is people have been awed by who Floyd is, and he wasn't awed in the slightest.
You sounded like you were about to say something, James.
I think he, obviously he was really, effective with how aggressive he was early and, backing Floyd up to the ropes, he was kind of smothering some of the counter punches. I think where he lost it was about midway through the fight, and probably a combination of just him running out of gas and also Mayweather starting to figure out his timing. But, once it got to the center of the ring and Floyd had distance, he was kind of able to do what he wanted, I thought, through the middle stretch. And, I honestly think you could have scored. I mean, it probably wouldn't be right, but I really think you could have scored the last, like, seven rounds for Floyd. I mean, there was close ones. There was close one. The eighth was close. The 12th was close. But I really thought he just took over enough of that second half that, to me, it ended up being a clear win. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on if you go back and, rescore the first couple, how you scored the opening rounds, like the second and the fourth. I had Maidana up 3-2 after five, so it seemed like some people had him up 4-1. So I guess that kind of depends on how you end up with either, a draw or give Maidana a couple of those swing rounds late. But yeah, I thought Maidana fought great. I mean, he definitely, to me, it was just, he really employed it, like, an effective bully strategy of just throwing a lot of punches and coming forward, and he managed to catch Floyd early and gave him a really tough fight. And, I'm always going to root for the underdog and would have loved to see the upset, and I would have liked to have scored the fight for Maidana, and, I wish he had, in my opinion, a more compelling case for actually winning. But I think a few of those later rounds, he just didn't do enough. When he had a chance, when the rounds were close with 30 seconds left or whatever, Mayweather was the one putting the stamp on them. And, it was a great performance. I think his stock went up a lot, but I don't really see it as a fight that could have gone either way. I thought the possible range of scores was anything from a draw, if you gave Maidana basically the benefit of every doubt, to Floyd. I think 9-3 actually was kind of a defensible score. I mean, I think it's on the extreme, but I can see how you could get there.
I think a lot of, Floyd made adjustments. He took it more to the center of the ring. I think a lot of it has to do with Maidana didn't have that energy to complete the task. He put a lot out there. Floyd hit him with some good body shots early, zapped him a bit. Look at like the eighth where Maidana put it out there again and fought with that full energy. I thought he took that round, pretty clearly, was able to back Floyd up, was able to hit him even in the center of the ring, but he wasn't able to maintain that momentum. I think it came down a lot to Floyd's superior conditioning in that fight.
I mean, I'm not suggesting that like you did, but I do think that sometimes people kind of fall into the narrative of the fight. And we've seen this before where, Maidana obviously was having a much better start than any other Mayweather opponent, maybe ever, going back to Castillo. But we've seen opponents have some degree of success early on against Floyd, and then Floyd takes over and turns into a one-sided shutout. And that's not the most, interesting, exciting outcome that we want to see. And I'm not saying that that's what happened here, but I do think, because this was a pretty close fight, throughout, but I thought Floyd had huge rounds in the sixth and the seventh and looked to be kind of turning that tide to take over. And Maidana came back in the eighth and had a much better round. But I still thought that was a close round that you could have still given to Floyd, even though it was, it was close to an even round. You could have scored a 10-10. And it's the kind of thinking that at that point, the crowd was really pulling for Maidana, and I think a lot of people were still trying to give him enough rounds because, the people wanted it to be that kind of a fight. When I personally, I mean, I want to go back and rewatch it, and I haven't had the chance, but watching it live, I felt like their rounds were close, and Maidana was giving him a hell of a fight the entire time, but I didn't see him winning rounds after the fifth. After the fifth.
Yeah, I gave him the eighth, I gave him the 12th, but the 12th was close. I don't have an argument with Floyd having that. So, that's basically the whole second half of the fight being Floyd's fight. But you know, Medina was still in it. I don't think people were reaching as hard as they were reaching in the Cotto fight, which I thought was a pretty clear Floyd win, as opposed in this fight. But yeah, but also just, you know, I was in a room full of, you know, casual boxing fans. They were completely enthralled for the first half of the fight. And then the second half of the fight, everyone was talking about, you know, how they're going to, you know, what fertilizer they're going to use in their lawn and what beer they want to drink. So, you know, that was definitely an indication that Floyd had, you know, had taken the fight over and, you know, was no longer compelling for people that, you know, aren't as bizarrely invested in boxing as people like us.
You know,
yeah,
I think you guys both make pretty good points, and I think that the first point that I think that Floyd Mayweather almost certainly took over the second half of the fight, I agree with that 100%. I mean, and as far as the exact scoring, there was a lot of – you kind of had to pay fairly close attention to the actual action, because while it looked like, in, at least to my view, it looked like Maidana was able to push Floyd back fairly consistently in the first half of the fight, actually in the action, without getting too, you know, breakdown about it or philosophical or whatever, I thought that Marcos Maidana actually, you know, doubled down a little bit too much on his right hand, and he was throwing it from just absolutely insane angles, like literally like straight up and down, like vertical. And while that was kind of throwing Floyd off, I thought it also wasn't super effective apart from just kind of surprising him. It didn't really seem to hurt him a whole lot, and I thought that he could have stood to use his left hand a little bit more inside. But regardless,
he actually,
I think
thought that Medina, one of his, and I don't know if he got warned or not, but I thought he should have kept, you know, he was coming from straight up to straight down. I thought that was actually working, and I thought he got away from that too much in the fight, because Floyd was totally unprepared for that. Now, I don't know if Tony Weeks gave him a hard warning and said he was going to hit the point if he hits him in the back of the head, you know, with that punch again. But several of the times where he landed hard on Floyd, it was from that crazy angle, and it threw Floyd's timing off for all his, you know, all his rolling, you know, when Medina's on top of him. I thought it was actually really effective, and I thought he got away from that once he was able to get Floyd against the ropes later in the fight, and it made it more difficult for Medina to score in there. And I think after the third or the fourth, Robert Garcia got up, and you could hear him talking to Weeks, and he said, "That's his punch, man. Let him throw. That's a punch. Let him throw it, bro." So I'm not sure what Weeks said, and if he said something that made it so Medina wasn't going to throw that punch anymore.
Let me ask you guys something really quick, since we basically went into the officiating part of it. Now, this was, of course, what I was, you know, called out for being a douchebag about on Saturday night during the fights. I get, I think, notoriously nasty about when I'm tweeting during fights, just because, I don't know, I like being mean and fun. Regardless, I thought the officiating for the entire card was pretty bad, pretty much top to bottom. I thought that just about every referee that we saw made some really ridiculous errors, from Vic Draculich refusing to fucking do anything at all, you know, and actually going in the opposite direction as far as the fouling. I mean, regardless, it was bad. What did you guys think about the officiating? Do you agree with me? Do you think I'm being too sensitive about it? Call me out here.
I thought Draculich was just awful. I think someone tweeted it's Emil Khan and Vic Draculich versus Luis Quilado, because it was 2-on-1 in there. I mean, Khan was going to win that fight regardless, but, I mean, the holding was so excessive. And then, you know, they called, you know, he warned Collazo for, you know, putting his head down. When it's Khan, it's pushing his neck, you know, down repeatedly, because Khan just cannot fight inside to save his life. It was, you know, it's not world title fight level officiating, to say the least. Tony Weeks, I thought, had a pretty tough task with what was going on there. You know, they were both being buffed. I think that was a pretty hard fight to take control over. But and then, you know, he allowed a lot of holding that second half of that fight. Just kind of let it go. Thought there could have been more warnings there. And then Jay Nady, he is one of my least favorite officials because he just doesn't have any respect for the fighters in the ring.
I hate Jay Nady.
Yeah.
He's bad.
Yep. He was fucking terrible. No surprise there. We'll get into it more, but Draculich probably should have done more with Amir Khan. I thought that was kind of being overstated. You know, again, I just think, I mean, there weren't a lot of people rooting for Amir Khan, and the fact that he fought with, you know, some tactics that aren't entirely, it's similar shit to, you know, what Andre Ward, Bernard Hopkins do, and then they're, you know, they're brilliant and crafty. So, I mean, I think Draculich could have done more. I didn't think it was the worst refereeing job I've ever seen, and I actually thought Weeks, all things considered, I thought Weeks did a pretty good job in a really tough fight where, you know, you had to kind of deal with, I mean, both guys came away unhappy with him. So I think that speaks to the fact that he actually was pretty good.
I'll crap all over him. He took Kolarov's only chance to, you know, really be in that fight. And you can't just hold every time someone gets in on you. That's not boxing. I guess it's pro boxing, but I mean, in the amateurs, if you hold, you get a warning right off the bat. And the second time you do it, you're going to get a point. Or if you keep doing it, you're going to get disqualified, and it's all pretty quick. If you're holding on the inside, it's a concession that you're not capable of dealing. Either one, you're hurt, or two, you're not capable of dealing with what's presented in front of you. So
Mayweather grabbed my gun and I'm all right. So where, I mean,
I'm at what point where you're making a, if you're making someone have to hold you repeatedly, then that's ring generalship on your part, and that's got to be considered, in, you know, whether or not you're winning that round or not.
I don't know. I saw a lot of what the people were complaining about, and obviously, you know, the commentators noticed it too. But I thought it was not that crazy, you know. I mean, not that excessive compared to what I've seen in other fights. I thought mostly the reason Khan was so effective was because it was, you know, he was a better fighter, superior hand speed, and he was catching Colosso with combinations all night.
Yeah,
and you know, there was a lot of holding, but
that's two separate points. I mean, Khan was a superior fighter, and when he was on the outside and catching Colosso coming in, he was outstanding. Whether he's also holding a lot is a separate issue, and that it's undeniable that that was the case. Whether it would have made a difference in the fight, who knows? I mean, Khan had a good performance.
I do think that's worth, you know, repeating too, and that I've been pretty hard on Khan for pretty much a while, but I will admit that usually he's in fairly fun fights, win or lose. And I was pretty hard on him this past weekend because I thought that the holding was very excessive and that, you know, Draculich could have and should have done something about not just the holding, too. It wasn't just holding, but it was, you know, everything from leaning over him and, like, physically trying to push him to the canvas to elbowing, pushing off, which he's gotten points deducted for in the past, et cetera, et cetera. So not to kind of like, you know, live through the entire fight again, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but regardless, the officiating on the card I thought was fairly poor. I do agree Tony Weeks had a tough job, especially with, man, it's been a while since I've seen a fighter just blatantly try to knee a dude in the nuts, like mid-fight. I'm trying to think of like maybe who maybe Andrew Golota or something like that, but my question here is, if they were able to purify an essence of Marcos Maidana, would that shit be able to resurrect John Wayne?
Yeah,
it's a legitimate question.
He's a badass. He's a badass. I guess there's John Wayne in the pictures.
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard that he was cool and whatever, so I had to go with it.
Well, one of the things that was kind of lost going into the fight is that Maidana is such a fan favorite. You know, I mean, he really has become kind of people, I think, have kind of got swept up in this the Russian badass movement. You know, that's going on HBO with Golovkin and Provodnikov and Kovalev. But Maidana was, you know, an action guy, has been an action guy for years. And is, you know, so it seemed like the buzz for this fight was pretty underwhelming. It didn't feel, I mean, obviously it was nothing compared to the event that when Mayweather fought Canelo. But I did think that was kind of, it almost didn't have enough buzz from my perspective, because I was kind of looking forward to Maidana getting the shot, just because he's such, you know, I mean, we've, aside from the one really dreadful performance against Devin Alexander, which obviously now was kind of a, you know, an exception, he's always made entertaining fights and just been a complete, you know, an awesome guy to root for.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, he gave us the gift of derailing the Broner straight to pay-per-view superstar train.
And or Ortiz, and...
Yep, so. And then now he gave Floyd, the, you know, the toughest fight he's had in, you know, in a long time. He's a, you know, he deserves to be one of...
He's in my pound-for-pound top five now.
Yeah, he's right up there.
You know,
he
I'm going to guess that he's pound-for-pound about...
Borderline Hall of Famer.
Well, I'm saying he's about like 4.2.
He definitely made the compelling case for him to have that rematch. I mean, I think that is the, you know, my guess is that the pay-per-view numbers, the sales are going to be fairly low for this fight because of the lack of buzz. I mean, Floyd was, you know, pretty desperate to sell it last week, which, you know, is my guess is it was trending poorly. But now, with his performance in this fight, you know, he got a lot of press to, you know, this is a guy that roughed up Floyd. So if the, you know, if the sales are low and the only options are guys that Porter, Thurman, I'm not sure who else is out there, that, you know, only, you know, basically hardcore boxing fans know about, then Medina's going to be the fight that you can sell, especially if Khan's unavailable because of Ramadan. So, but, you know, as far as a boxing business, you know, Maidana didn't get much of a purse. He's going to be able to demand a much bigger purse, and I think the sales for a rematch, whether the fight's competitive or not, I think are going to be pretty high.
Well, to jump off of that pound-for-pound thing, you know, I don't even rate my pound-for-pound in whole numbers anymore. I do tenths of numbers, and I'm saying Marcos Maidana is about like 4.2. So, you know, you guys can go ahead and argue that shit, but I have a formula, okay, and it always works. But needless to say, Marcos Maidana, I just want to have another child and name him the godfather of this child, just in case, because I know that if anything were ever happen to me and my wife, he would be safe. My child would be safe with Marcos Maidana. So, yeah, I mean, you know, his stock, needless to say, went up. You have to give him that, if nothing else. I thought that Floyd won the fight, you know, fairly clearly, closely, but clearly. Regardless, Marcos Maidana does not come away from that fight with any type of negativity attached to his name, aside from maybe some of the tactics or whatever. But apart from that, his stock went up, needless to say, yeah.
Yeah, dude. No, I have him in a four-way tie for second with Pacquiao, Broner, and Rigondeaux.
Where's Lara?
He's like in the back end of the top 30.
Okay. Fair enough.
So yeah, man, dude. How much? I'm kind of anti rematch myself. Not to say that Maidana doesn't deserve it. But you know, I don't. I don't have a huge problem with Floyd moving on, and I kind of would prefer him to do so. I guess the exception being I really don't want to see Amir Khan get the Floyd fight either. So between those two, I would take Maidana again. But I actually think that you could make a case that, you know, if Maidana rematches Floyd and Floyd shows up a better version, makes adjustments, and dominates him,
you know, I just think Madonna might be better off just letting this kind of somewhat controversial result, just that there's some people out there that kind of thought that he might have won this fight or that it was a draw. I almost feel like he might be better to just kind of let that stand and move on, because he can make so many great fights with other people. You know, and you run the risk of Floyd. I think you'd have to favor Floyd big in the rematch, just based on, you know, the way that the second half of the fight played out. But I don't know. I mean, this could also be a sign that, which we've been saying for a while, because it seemed to be this kind of like idiotic, you know, mindset among so many fans that Mayweather was just invincible. And it's like, no, obviously no fighter's invincible, especially age 37. You know, it's inevitable that he's going to get, if he keeps on fighting, he's going to be in some tough fights. And, you know, one of these young guys like Porter or Thurman might end up beating Mayweather just on activity. Because I thought Madonna was pretty close to having a compelling case to win. If he had just done, you know, more work in three or four rounds, you know, 90% of the people might think that he won the fight instead of the other way around. So, but I just don't know if Madonna in a rematch is the guy to do it. But I think it showed some vulnerability from Floyd, and I don't, you know, the way I saw it was Floyd kind of pulling away late and clearly winning. And I just think with Mayweather only, you know, with Mayweather fighting so infrequently, I'd like to see him involved in some bigger fights against, you know, I mean, I'm still dreaming that maybe he can, you know, he'll do something bold, like, you know, pull a guy from the other side or go up and challenge for the middleweight title or something. And with him only fighting, you know, once or twice a year, that's where it gets kind of tough for me to advocate. You know, I don't want to see Madonna on the shelf that long, and I think there's other interesting fights for Mayweather. So I'm kind of against the rematch.
What do you think about that, Joel?
I mean, I think Madonna would take the rematch in a second. One, because I'm sure he believes that he can beat him next time, and two, because there's going to be a big truck of money. You know, he can have all the compelling fights in the world against smaller names and keep, you know, and I'd be happy to see it. But, you know, this is he got a little underpaid for this one. He's not going to get underpaid for the second one. Two, I think he actually, I don't know how the second fight would go. I'd like to see it. Porter and Thurman, as far as them being an opponents, I'm still not sure if they're ready for Floyd. I think Medina's proven that he can make a good fight with Floyd. I think he'd probably make a good second fight with him. I just don't see Floyd taking either of those guys at this point in their career, just because people are going to go, who? You know, people are going to be, you passed up Medina to fight some guy that we don't know of, even if those fights would actually be good fights.
No, I hear you, dude. I hear you. I mean, like, I'm just saying from my perspective. I mean, I'm trying to dream big here. You know, if you believe all the bullshit from the money team, like, oh, he only has three fights left, you know, I want to see him fight, like, go up and fight Pacquiao, go up and fight Martinez, go up and fight, you know, do something huge. And, you know, I'm not going to be like, it'd be awesome if he was fighting, like, every 2 months, then rematch Madonna, you know. But if there's three fights left, I mean, I'd rather that it not be Madonna, Porter, and Thurman, you know, or something like that, or Porter, Khan, and whatever, you know. I want to see, I like to see Floyd do something huge for the final.
Yeah, it would be nice. I got a feeling it's going to be Madonna, Khan, then Canelo.
Then the Canelo rematch?
And then the Carmelo rematch.
You got to throw Pac for 50, though, right?
What's that?
You got to take the Pacquiao fight for the 50th win.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, I don't see the Pacquiao fight ever happening. But which is the whole point of Floyd, is that, you know, we've gotten to the point where you can't even talk about that fight without, you know, revealing yourself to be a fool. But yet every single person that I was watching the Mayweather fight, all they could talk about is how, if Floyd was in there with Pacquiao, what it would be like. So, you know, we as boxing fanatics have been trained not to talk about the fight. Everyone else in the world still wants to see it.
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe Madonna can
can put up just more energy and more output and be successful and more successful in the rematch. I don't know. It just, to me, it kind of felt like in that sixth, seventh round, it just felt like I had seen Maidana's ceiling, you know, which was that, like, he gave Floyd a hell of a fight, better than anyone has since Castillo. But, you know, the one difference between those two fights is that Mayweather dominated the first half against Castillo, and then Castillo came on late and was really, you know, life and death with him for the last six rounds. This was kind of the opposite, and I think that has some kind of effect on, you know, at least for me as a viewer, the fact that I saw Floyd win the second half of the fight makes the rematch less appealing. But, you know, once I hear the options, yeah, I probably will be for the rematch when they trot out, like, you know, Khan or whoever, you know.
Well, I think that I would be kind of surprised if Floyd really thought that either Porter or Thurman were ready for him. And I mean, he's probably going to try to sell any fight that he gets, really. It has nothing to do with, you know, whether or not he believes the guy's ready, because I'm sure he's going to say, oh, this guy's a young, hungry lion, no matter what. But I would, needless to say, far rather see Porter versus Thurman and then somebody else before getting to Floyd. But I think the two probably most realistic options are Khan and a rematch with Maidana. There are probably more options out there if he really, really wanted them, but we're talking realism here, and those are probably the most realistic options. And I'm not entirely sure about, you know, Khan's deal about fighting around Ramadan and stuff like that, but I think that we're probably going to wind up seeing the rematch with Maidana. And I'm kind of with James on it a little bit, just in that it worries me slightly, because I feel like Floyd got that second half of that first fight, and I kind of feel like Floyd would be more likely to have figured out Maidana or what to do than the opposite in a rematch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the case. I think the second fight has a much higher percentage of turning out to be like we thought the first fight was going to be. But, you know, I'm not 100% sold on that. I think, you know, where's Alex Ariza? He was the one that was supposed to make Maidana be able to go or, like, train for 12 rounds, and it didn't quite happen. Maybe that can change. I don't know.
Well, also, just want to point out that, like, not that it matters, but, you know, I think Porter's done enough to actually, I think he's right where Maidana is. I mean, Maidana's only real win to get the Mayweather fight, well, he beat Ortiz a few years ago, but was beating Broner. And Porter, you know, Porter beat Alexander, who has a win over Maidana, and Porter beat, you know, blew away Pauly, who went, you know, gave Broner a closer fight or whatever. So, I mean, I think Porter's done enough with those to actually, I think he does deserve the Mayweather fight among the welterweight contenders at Golden Boy. And if he's in the mix, I'd rather see him than Maidana, because I think that his aggression is a little bit more controlled. And maybe that'll work against him, and Floyd will have an easier time, because maybe part of, you know, why Maidana was effective is because he's so kind of wild and unorthodox, and, you know, it's hard to defend against because he's not a textbook boxer. But the way Porter's looked recently, I really want to see that fight. And, you know, maybe, yeah, Porter could use a little more seasoning. But I just think there's interesting guys out there. And it's just, if we're seeing kind of the end of Floyd's prime, because, I enjoy watching Floyd fight, even though I don't like a lot of the bullshit. There's a lot that he does that's just pretty awesome, spectacular to watch. And I'd like to see that, you know, against somebody who can really test him, and that's what was great about Saturday. But I just think that, you know, he figured it out and he won the fight. And so, you know, all credit to Maidana for testing him. I like to see another fight, another high level, you know, guy. And I think that using some of what Maidana did, you could see an even closer fight, or we could potentially see, you know, Mayweather lose before his run is up.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to throw out, you know, the realistic business side of the things, I'd love to see Floyd against Porter and against Thurman. I'd like to see him against both. You know, see what these guys can bring. I mean, I definitely think the split is there. I mean, maybe he was a little bit off that night, but yeah, he definitely wasn't shining and wasn't nearly as sharp as he's been in the past, even in his good moments. in that fight. He just didn't. He didn't have the that same essence that he, you know, he brought in those other fights where he was so sharp and so clean with everything.
Floyd.
Yeah, Floyd. So you know, maybe can you give Floyd that task?
But I thought
I think a lot of that
has
to do with what
middle,
he's
no,
got and
no.
was bringing to him.
Right, but you got to give Floyd some credit too, because he did some great stuff in the middle rounds, and it pained me to watch it because I was hoping that Maidana would keep the pressure up and really take the fight. But you know, Floyd, he adjusted really well and was just tagging Maidana with some big combinations and big punches that he couldn't see coming in the middle rounds. I mean, he could have, you know, traditionally in a lot of his blowouts, he's done a lot more than that, and that's why this was a really compelling fight, you know, but he was accomplishing a lot of things in the last half of that fight, and you got to give him credit for kind of weathering the storm.
No, absolutely. I mean, the mid rounds, he was winning the infighting, and he was winning the, you know, in the center of the ring as well.
And I think
yeah,
you got to give Maidana, you know, Maidana's a great opponent to bring out a great fight from Floyd. I mean, yeah, it was a rousing, you know, it was a great event. And Golden Boy kind of, again, has presented what looks like a mismatch, and it turns out to be a really good fight.
Yep, good luck out again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was actually going to bring that up at some point, but, yeah, I can't really knock it too much, even if it was an accident that it wound up being as good or as compelling as it was. At the end of the day, it was compelling, and I have to kind of concede that, I guess. I mean, I was tweeting about it a second ago, and I had asked, and I don't think anybody had really answered, but how much of this performance, how much of this fight was perhaps Floyd Mayweather's legs giving out a little bit? How much of it was, Marcos Maidana maybe forcing the legs out of him a little bit? How much was it Maidana's awkwardness, et cetera, et cetera? Basically, I guess the question comes down to how well are both of these guys going to do in the future? You know, is Floyd going to kind of go on and start to fade a little bit, do you guys think?
I mean, it's impossible to say. Just because he's 37, yeah, of course, eventually I think he will. You know, it's hard to say is it going to be now or will he retire before it happens. I mean, it's tough to say, but, you know, he looked good enough in the last part of that fight. I mean, a lot of times, you know, people seem to say, like, oh, Floyd doesn't have the legs anymore, but he hasn't really fought with that kind of, like, trotting around the ring style ever. You know, I mean, there were a couple fights, but I think it's just kind of what he does. You know, he hasn't used his legs like that in a long time. And I don't know, against a really tough opponent, I thought it was enough. You know, he had enough to look pretty good in the second half of the fight. So it would,
yeah.
You know, with all the kind of distractions and everything that Maidana brought, really bringing such a great fight to him, I think it's hard to say that Floyd, you know, is going to decline in his next fight. I mean, there's no reason to think that.
Yeah, I don't know if that fight showed us anything about Floyd's legs. I mean, I think Floyd started to do better when he started to try to back Maidana up, and he wasn't just, you know, trying to back out and spin out. You know, I think in the past he hasn't mind fighting off the ropes, but once Maidana got him in that first round, I think he realized that's not the place where he wanted to be anymore. He spent a lot of the third and fourth round trying to spin out, but Maidana did a great job of cutting that ring off and then closing him and just smothering the heck out of him when he was on top of him. You know, I'm not sure where, you know, Floyd's legs are. You know, I think he is slipping a little bit. He just doesn't, but, you know, Maidana made some of that happen too, so it's hard to tell, you know, going forward where he's going to be.
Well, should we take a second to thank Floyd Mayweather for fighting that way for the fans, for giving us that present? I mean, you know, we really should just kind of – can somebody get him a cake or – I don't know. What is he – well, Maidana likes the cookies, but what is Floyd like? Should we get Leonard Ellerbe to jump out of a cake for him? Because he really deserves something for fighting that way for us. I mean, he's doing us a big favor.
Yeah, that was really nice of him.
He deserves something.
Someone's going to buy that, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any question that Marcos Maidana was forcing Floyd Mayweather to kind of be entertaining in that first half to two-thirds of the fight or so. But, yeah, I guess moving forward from here, as far as Maidana goes, he kind of almost seems to me to be type of guy where, you know, he just basically kept it close as shit against Floyd Mayweather, who is probably still the best fighter in the world right now. But, you know, in previous fights, you know, he almost got blanked by Devin Alexander. I've brought that up before, didn't like the holding from Alexander, et cetera, but regardless, he got, you know, pretty undressed there. But he's also been able to bounce back up from really heavy knockdowns against Victor Ortiz, get hurt against Josecito Lopez, and, you know, kick the crap out of him, et cetera, et cetera. He's like you could get almost anything from him, but you know that you're going to get everything he's got. So, I mean, I don't want to say this fight took anything out of him. It certainly didn't seem to. But is he going to be able to bank off of this success? You know, do you guys ultimately think the rematch is going to happen and et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I think the rematch is going to happen. Well, one, I think it's going to happen. If it doesn't, obviously he's going to be able to bank off of this. I mean, first Broner and then this. I mean, the Devin Alexander fight, I think, is long in the past. It doesn't affect his marketability whatsoever. You know, now he's finally the A side, and you know, I think he's leveraged it as much as he can.
I agree.
Yeah.
What do you think, James?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. You know, I kind of suspect that they won't do a rematch. But, you know, Maidana's going to get some big fights. And, I mean, think about it. I mean, you could just put him in with any of those guys. Thurman, Porter, Danny Garcia eventually. I mean, why couldn't they do, a Khan-Maidana rematch, and then the winner of that would get Floyd? Well,
right.
Because, of course, most of us think Maidana would knock Khan out, you know, if they fought again. So he's got a lot of big fights, and he's going to move into the seven-figure bracket. Probably be an A-side on Showtime, and you know, it's exciting to think about. A lot of those fights, I think, are great, and you know, if he can, I mean, I'd like to see him fighting against some of those top guys, and if he wins those fights, it makes the case for a Floyd rematch stronger.
I mean, Golden Boy has a great group of fighters right there at 140, 147. You know, I don't know how long you can go having them avoid each other. You know, it has to happen now, and all those matchups are great.
Yeah, there's some real possibilities there, especially, you know, for Maidana. I would doubt at this point that he's going to budge from 147 pounds, but eventually when a couple of those guys from 140 do wind up moving up, plus Amir Khan, you know, there's a handful of possibilities there for him that I hope we get, because he's a fun dude to watch.
Yeah.
Well, since we brought up Amir Khan and we kind of already started talking about it earlier, let's move on to Amir Khan, who clutched victory from Louis Collazo. Did we overrate Collazo's win over Victor Ortiz, guys?
Without question that if people, you know, I even heard talk from legitimate people that if Collazo beat Khan, he'd be in the running because he's a New York guy to face Floyd. I mean, it was, if you look at his comeback from after he got knocked out from Freddy Hernandez, it's been, you know, he did 10 or 12 rounds with Alon Sanchez, who didn't really, it was more of a sparring session. And then even Victor Ortiz doesn't want to be a fighter anymore and realized it again in the first round or the second round, whenever it was that Collazo knocked him out. Collazo's always been a solid professional, you know, just that step below championship grade. Now he's 33, and Khan had way too much for him.
Yeah.
What do you think, James?
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, definitely Collazo was a little bit overrated. I mean, the fact that a lot of people thought this was like a 50-50 fight, even though the odds had Khan as a decent favorite, and that's kind of part of the reason why I think it's still kind of ludicrous for Amir Khan to get a Floyd Mayweather fight from this. You know, it would be the equivalent of like, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to make a metaphor with the other side. I mean, it's kind of like Pacquiao fighting Rios, except he was coming off of a loss. But, you know, you don't deserve a fight with the top guy in the world until you can beat guys who are, you know, at the top of that weight class. And Collazo really probably wasn't even a top 10 welterweight. I thought that was ridiculous. People were ranking him like that because he knocked out, Victor Ortiz, who, like Joel said, basically, you know, did not look like somebody who wanted to be a professional fighter, and the first clean punch that he took kind of appeared to just decide not to continue. Khan, it was impressive. You know, yeah, he did what he needed to do, and it was a really one-sided fight, and I think, you know, he deserves credit for that. But I think he still needs to fight, you know, a genuine top guy, and I think Golden Boy taking that weird Victor Ortiz, you know, knockout, Collazo, I mean, never had that kind of power, and Ortiz seemed capable, just basically unwilling to get up. So, you know, Golden Boy kind of manufactured that into, you know, this tough, you know, veteran contender for Amir Khan. And Collazo was a really good fighter. The question is how long ago was his real prime, and, you know, what kind of threat did he genuinely pose to somebody like Amir Khan? And, you know, I think we kind of got some answers to that.
Well, I mean,
well,
Khan
and on top.
Khan had a ton of questions to answer going into that fight. So coming in, fighting a guy like Collazo, I think is a decent fight for him to come back in just to see where he's at. But, yeah, I mean, James, your point is right that fight doesn't spring you up to be, you know, fight the top fighter in the world, you know, especially with all these other guys out there. But, you know, in the world of boxing, Golden Boy is going to be able to say, look how good Khan was, look how fast he was, look how he dominated the 12 rounds, put him down. He's ready for Floyd and let's do it. Because they got to do it soon. They got to do it before Khan loses to someone, you know, faces someone who's legitimate and then ends up losing. Because they got to cash in, they got to cash in that English pay-per-view money. So I wouldn't be surprised.
How much is that, though?
I don't know. I imagine it's worth it enough for them to keep on going with the charade. Otherwise, they'd put Khan right back in with someone else good off the bat. But I just don't see that happening.
You know, doesn't Khan become so much bigger? What if Khan like beat Maidana in a rematch and beat, you know, avenged against Danny Garcia? I mean, doesn't he become then a really huge fight for Floyd? Everybody makes more money, and if he loses, then, you know, who cares? Then somebody else. I mean, how much money really is at stake for Golden Boy to kind of keep?
It's something they're pushing that I don't want.
Yeah, they're pushing it. I don't want it either, but I mean, I think they're going to push it to the, you know, push it till the end until that fight happens. Just given the other options and how much money you can make, you know, in that fight. The people that I was watching with, aren't boxing fans, they love Khan. They're like, that guy's fast and that guy hits really hard. That guy's awesome. So if I told them that guy's going to Floyd after that fight with Madonna, they'd be buying it.
Really?
Yeah. People were impressed with Khan. They didn't mind the holding and this and that, and they didn't see what his flaws were, and they don't know his history. They saw a guy who has got real fast hands and fast feet and was blasting this guy that kept coming after him, and they saw that Floyd, you know, was vulnerable and there to be hit, and so they, you could sell him on that fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're probably the kind of difficult part for me was that Khan looked just good enough that to the eyes of many, it would probably justify a fight against Floyd Mayweather, even though many of us know better than that, you know. But real quick, because we touched on it a second ago, but the fight itself, I think that one of the things that seemed to kind of screw Collazo a little bit in the fight was that
something we were all waiting for, which was the point at which Amir Khan looks shaky or, you know, like he got wobbled or something like that, because it seemed to happen against pretty much everybody. But they even said, I believe it was in the first round, the commentating team,
I'm not entirely sure. It sounded like other people got a different commentating team because of the pay-per-view thing. But regardless, they had said it, I believe, the first round, that Louis Collazo said in their fighter meeting that he needed to be careful because he didn't want to get caught up in thinking he was a puncher, because he was able to basically one-shot Victor Ortiz, you know, kind of shadily. But regardless, that's exactly what he wound up doing for most of the fight. Rather than actually trying to set anything up to land, at a handful of points, he just put his hands down because, well, one, out of frustration because the officiating was so fucking woeful, but also because his situation was dire and he had no other answer. You know, even for when Khan wasn't doing a ton of holding and stuff like that, he didn't really have much of an answer aside from landing the odd, you know, haymaker. And he just didn't have the power to do anything. Which I think brings, you know, the victory over Victor Ortiz, you know, that kind of makes it even more dubious that he wasn't able to hurt Amir Khan, yet Victor Ortiz got absolutely one-shotted by the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Khan's speed really drove Collazo insane, along with the holding. I think that, I mean, nothing befuddles someone, especially if he's a boxer like Collazo, that's expected to be able to counter, and the guy's so fast that he can't do anything that he thought he could do. And I think he mentally really lost his focus in that fight because of that. And I think, there was beholding, but I think it was that speed and that inability to get off and do what he wanted to do that, you know, really made Collazo shut down and do some crazy, stupid stuff in there, which I thought was entertaining. I actually thought he was being fairly successful at walking Khan down in the left, that fight before he got caught big in that tenth, and you know he touched Khan quite a bit. You look at Khan's face after that fight, and the whole left side of his face was swollen up. You know, Khan was super sharp the first third of the fight. You know, he had those big knockdowns, you know, late in the fight, but you know, Khan's there to be got eventually. I'm not sure what my point was when I started talking.
You made some good points, even if you weren't sure.
my point was that Khan's speed, you know, it's legitimate. You know, especially if it's on that
fight. Definitely. The only issue is that, you know, you kind of have to beat somebody at the top to get a crack at the guy who's, you know, supposedly the number one pound for pound guy in the entire sport.
Talk about people deserving things and earning things, and well, you got to beat someone good. That's crazy talk, James.
Why? I mean, David Floyd knows that to a certain degree because, like, as selective as he's been, he has always timed his opponents coming off of, you know, bigger wins.
Right, but I think Khan's already, I mean, I think he's already there for that fight to be sold, and if he actually does actually have to beat someone good, then you risk that upsetting that apple cart. And then I'm not sure whoever beats Khan gets that sort of benefit from beating Khan, that's, you know, worth them taking that risk.
Oh, well. Well, hashtag blame Bob Arum. Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I'm with James on this, although, yeah, I mean, I'm aware of the reality that, you know, the whole thing about whether or not somebody actually deserves a fight is, it's pretty much irrelevant at this point. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to be whatever makes the most money or has the most mass appeal or whatever. Even then, I'm not really, I don't know, I don't really see a huge demand for a Floyd Mayweather versus Amir Khan fight. I'm not saying that there isn't any demand there because, you know, there's some rustling here and there. But regardless, it's just, to me, I don't know, on top of the whole deserving thing,
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm afraid that Amir Khan is actually kind of fast and stifling and a pain in the ass to deal with, and him beating Floyd Mayweather would probably kill some part inside of me. Some organ would die, and I'd shit it out. It would be horrible. Yeah, I would fucking... So, yeah, I would rather see Marcos Maidana get that rematch and get the crack at it than Amir Khan. I don't know. I mean, you know, it was a decent win, the whole Collazo win. It was a decent win. But, you know, in hindsight, I think even I probably overrated what he was able to do against Victor Ortiz because I didn't really know what the hell it meant. You know, now that we saw his, you know, subsequent fight play out and he basically couldn't do shit with Amir Khan, even with hitting him, I think that at least I got caught up in him being able to take out a guy like that and thinking he'd be able to do something against Amir Khan, when in reality, I probably should have been looking at that big empty space in, you know, the career of Louis Collazo for the last few years before the Victor Ortiz fight.
Yeah, that was troubling.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Collazo was going to be a good enough boxer that we'd actually see some moments where Khan would have to prove that, you know, he's made those improvements. And it looked better than against Julio Diaz, that's for sure. And he was able to at least keep his concentration for 12 rounds. So I guess that's an improvement. But, I mean, Khan just doesn't do enough. It's just, you know, as far as like being a fan of a boxing fan of him, you get amazed by his speed off the bat, and it's, you know, he's a one trick pony. He just doesn't have a boxing IQ. He doesn't do a lot out there that, you know, makes him a compelling fighter besides the fact that he's really, really fast.
Yeah, he also showed a little bit of power in the past, and I mean, he looked like he had a lot of, you know, exciting, interesting offensive tools. But the problem is for him, you know, I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, the guy who gets hurt like that, the inclination is to try to turn him into a more responsible defensive boxer, which obviously is less exciting for the fans. And at the same time, you know, I think it's been kind of a, you know, learning experience with Virgil Hunter, because switching into that style where he's kind of muted his own offense has gotten him hurt, you know, against Julio Diaz, and he didn't look great, you know, in these. I mean, this was the best he's looked in the three fights since he's come off the Garcia knockout. So it looks like he has improved, but yeah, I think there are questions kind of as like, you know, under Freddie Roach, he was able to like just overwhelm guys because he was so offensive minded, but then of course, you know, it got him hurt badly against Danny Garcia. And, you know, going forward, is this the best way for him to, I think he still needs to kind of find more of a balance, you know, and be more. I thought he looked really good against Collazo, but I think against some other opponents that might be a little bit too one-dimensional. And I think he's going to have to open up a little bit more, and of course that creates the risk that he's going to end up getting hurt badly. So I don't know where he winds up, but I just hope it's not in a Floyd Mayweather fight until he beats somebody of some, you know, some note. I mean, all he really has to do is just avenge the fight against Danny Garcia or beat a top welterweight rate guy. You know, Thurman, Porter, Maidana, those would all be good fights.
They'd all be good fights. I mean, he's the type of fighter whose style, I just, as you said, it's one-dimensional. I just root for him to lose every time he comes in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, I respect him, I guess, because I thought he's not Victor Ortiz, okay? He's not a guy who's going to get hurt and then just do something stupid and quit. But he is going to make a lot of, like, you know, what looks like kind of mental lapses and get hurt badly. But the difference is, you know, he keeps on fighting, and you have to like that. You have to respect that. I mean, even against Danny Garcia, he was, like, you know, protesting vehemently when Kenny Bayless stopped the fight, even though he's badly, badly hurt. So I like Khan. I don't necessarily root against him, but, you know, I just think that I don't know if he'll ever be able to get back to what he was, or if that Garcia knockout just changed him as a fighter and he's never going to be, you know, the guy who was kind of slugging it out with Marcos Maidana and it was really exciting and fan-friendly. Because these last three fights, he's been fighting pretty marginal competition. I mean, especially, you know, Carlos Molina
and then you know, fighting against Julio Diaz, who, you know, won a few rounds in that fight and hurt him pretty badly. You know, beating Collazo, to me, does not move his stock like that high, that much higher than where it was. You know, it was a really good performance, but I still think he has to prove himself as a real wealth, you know, bona fide wealth, top wealth.
Right, yeah, he hasn't done that.
Well, based on this performance, or, you know, based on this performance and past performances, I guess, would you guys give Amir Khan a legitimate shot at beating Floyd Mayweather?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Floyd will adjust to the speed and then it chop him to bits. He's got beautiful physical tools, and he's able to execute, you know, his basic stuff. But Floyd's, regardless of any slippage, Floyd's way too smart, and he'll wear him down mentally, and he'll find his holes. And if Floyd wants a knockout, I think that's the fight for him to take.
Yeah, I always think it's funny when everybody, you know, it seems like every fight somebody is like, oh, I could see Floyd stopping this guy, which I think in general is pretty ridiculous because Floyd doesn't have that type of power at welterweight, never really has. But you know, against Khan, I mean, you really can see it because if the guy can get hurt by Julio Diaz, and even Danny Garcia, a junior welterweight, who's a pretty good puncher, I still think Floyd, with his sharp counterpunching and his speed, if he hits Khan with a shot that Khan doesn't see, it could actually end up hurting him badly, and Floyd could get a stoppage. I mean, that I could definitely see, but I don't see what he has troubling Floyd as much as something like somebody. I think Maidana was on the right path. I think it has to be aggression, and I don't think Khan, even with his fast hands, fighting that kind of, like, you know, defensive boxer puncher style, I think that kind of plays right into Floyd's hands.
I think Floyd will see everything. Even if Floyd gets touched by him, he's going to see everything that's going to be coming his way. So he's not going to be surprised, and he's not going to get hurt by Khan. Even Collazo was able to put his hands down, and he was still, for a large portion of that fight, coming forward with his hands down, and you know, besides whatever the round was that he got dropped twice, he was still having success with that. Khan wasn't just able to pick him off clean. So you're going to get someone with Floyd's ability to be able to read those punches and what Khan's doing, and I don't see Khan standing much of a chance whatsoever.
And going through the guys who have been able to have success against Floyd Mayweather, you know, I mean, some of these guys have only had, you know, relative success, but anyone from Castillo to Cotto to Maidana, even Chop Chop Corley, you know, Zab Judah, all guys like that, all who had some measure of success against Floyd Mayweather, almost every single one of them had something about them that was either really good, like in Castillo's case, his body punching. He had, like, you know, world-class level body punching. But everybody else was awkward or had some type of style hitch to him. You know, Zab Judah, for, you know, all of his being Zab Judah, he is kind of an awkward guy with a funky style. Maidana throws punches really weird. You know, Miguel Cotto kind of developed some crazy type of jab despite being about 4'3". You know, shit like that. These guys all have some type of attribute that do it for him. Whereas Amir Khan is a little bit more straight up and down, and I think Floyd would probably have an easier time, you know, measuring him defensively. I don't know. I could be wishful thinking there, but that's kind of how I see it anyway.
Yeah, I think the key, and I think it has to be volume and pressure, you know, like, I mean, to trouble Floyd. I mean, it really, that's the blueprint, you know, that's what Castillo did. And yeah, I mean, the body punching was huge, but really it's just coming forward, throwing punches. If you can withstand his attack and not let him get into a rhythm or try to disrupt his rhythm. I mean, he's a much different fighter now than when he fought Castillo, but I think that's the key, and that's what Maidana showed. And I mean, that's why a lot of people were so fascinated with the Pacquiao angle, because in Pacquiao's prime, he was, you know, basically a come-forward, offensive-minded, you know, punches-and-bunches fighter. And I think that's what it's going to take. I mean, people like Canelo and Guerrero, to a degree, For one thing, you know, they're probably too one-dimensional when they fought Floyd, but to try to box against him, it was just such a terrible proposition. And what Maidana showed is that, like, you can trouble him. You know, this is boxing. It's not chess. I mean, it's a rough game, and there's things you can do to, you know, negate a lot of the skill gap. And I thought Maidana, you know, was brilliant in showing that. I think it's going to take, you know, a more refined fighter to actually beat Floyd, but it's going to take a similar, you know, effort of coming forward, throwing a lot of punches. I mean, and I think that's what you have to do, especially at you know, 37 years old and potentially losing a step with each day. You're going to have to pressure him. And somebody like Khan, I mean, they could make that their game plan, but it's kind of going against what Virgil Hunter's molding him into, which seems to be, you know, like a mauling defensive style, you know, kind of count, you know, throw a combo and grab him kind of a fighter. And I don't think that's going to work against Floyd. And we've seen, you know, Floyd deal with speed, but the guys who really trouble him are these kind of, you know, aggressive volume punchers.
Yeah, there seems to be a couple of relatively specific things that even at whatever he's 37, going to be 38 at some point relatively soon, I think, regardless, even at that age, you have to fall under, you know, a certain category to be able to keep it close with Floyd Mayweather. Let's see if we could go to the next fight that was on the undercard. Our boy, Adrian Broner, taking on the Carlos Molina, the other Carlos Molina.
Molina.
Yeah, he's probably like fourth in a succession of Carlos Molinas in the history of boxing. But I thought that Molina probably should have gotten a lot more credit for doing what he did on the scorecards. He obviously kept it closer than many thought that he would against Adrian Broner. You know, what did you guys think of that fight?
I thought that fight was a total disaster for Broner in a lot of ways. I mean, that fight was there for Broner to demolish Molina in the fashion that he demolished DeMarco and he demolished Escobedo and Eloy Perez and all those guys. That was the setup for him to, this is Broner, the ass-kicking machine that knocks people out and you can't stop them. And he wasn't able to do that remotely, close to doing that. And two, he had an opportunity, if that wasn't going to happen, he had an opportunity to at least experiment in some changes in his style against a guy like Molina, who he knows is no real threat. And it was the same old Adrian Broner the whole fight. And the fight was close. I had it 5-4 going into the ninth round. I mean, I thought Broner won the tenth round, and then Broner, I thought, won that round. So he got a fight, and then he gets a wide decision, so he thinks in his mind that he dominated the fight. And then he looks at Medina, who does well against Floyd, and thinks, well, if that guy can do so well against Floyd, you know, I guess, you know, my loss isn't that bad. So, you know, everything for Broner in that fight, I think, you know, it doesn't bode well for his future. I think the minute he steps in the ring with a legitimate 140 who has any sort of power, it doesn't, you know, that's got the energy to go a full 12 rounds, he's going to give Broner a lot of trouble. I don't see Broner capable of making any adjustments. You know, if you're going to lean on Broner's shoulder, he's going to rip you up. But if you fight in mid-range and you fight on the outside and you got any strength whatsoever to bang Broner to the body and go up to the head, Broner's in trouble. I mean, I think they're going to cash Broner out real quick based off of that performance.
Hey, what does it say about the modern, like, alphabet belt era that if Broner won a belt at 140, he would become like the 10th fighter in history to have belts in four weight classes?
Well, what can they get him a belt for that fight?
Well, they can get him a belt easily.
They should have got him a belt for that fight. Yeah, but I mean, it's a joke.
Oh, you guys want a belt? No, I can get you a belt. I could get you a belt by 2:30.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the fight was pretty much a complete waste of time, but I'm just glad that Molina actually came to try to win, you know, and was able to punch Broner in the face quite a few times, more than I think most people expected. But at the end, I kind of agreed with Broner. I didn't think it was really. I didn't think it was a close fight. I had it scored like 8-2, but yeah, he definitely had a lot more trouble than what we expected. And I mean, I thought going in that he would probably TKO him or knock him out. And you know, again, it's not really a ringing endorsement of Broner's future. But that said, like Joel touched on, I think Maidana giving Floyd a good fight actually does make Broner not look quite as bad. You know, whether that's fair or not, I think that we're coming to realize that Maidana's a really tough fighter and a top guy in the division in his own right. And so, you know, losing in the fashion that he did to him, especially that Broner was able to come back and kind of do some stuff late in that fight, you know, it doesn't look as bad, I guess, as it did before. And who knows what Broner does next? I mean, nothing will surprise me. But he's such a goofball. I think it's kind of good to have him around for now. You know, despite everything obnoxious that he does, and I think and potentially, you know, for entertainment value, I kind of hope that he continues the fight. But you know, at a high level. But yeah, you put him in with like a Lucas Matisse at 140, and that doesn't seem like a good fight for him.
You know, I'm happy that we brought up the whole title situation and belt situation and stuff like that, because I feel like maybe I'm being too strong here, but I feel like Adrian Broner is basically an illusion as a top fighter. I mean, perhaps I really am being too strong. He's funny. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, and I don't mean like he's legitimately funny, like he could go into comedy, because he's an absolute train wreck of a person, but he's funny to watch because of that, because he says really stupid things, like, you know, in a post-fight interview where he beats some dude that he was supposed to kick the shit out of him, who actually gave him, you know, a fair amount of trouble, and he goes, "I just beat the fuck out of a Mexican." Like, that's not even funny. Like, really, I mean, is there any demographic of people who was like, "Brah!" You know, nobody did. So he's funny in that regard.
The discomfort of it was somewhat funny.
Exactly, like the whole like ha ha like that part of it was funny.
Get off was funny.
Yeah, it was funny in that regard, but I mean, you know, I so like one of you said, Marcos Maidana goes forward to give Floyd a hell of a fight. You know, Floyd, who's probably the best fighter in the world, and now Adrian Broner sees that and thinks, oh well, he just you know, kept it close with my big brother, so now I'm legitimized. I took all those punches in that fight, and I was okay, and blah blah blah. So
right, and
a guy like Adrian Broner, he's hittable. You know, he's been hit by numerous fighters who weren't that good, and well, I mean, you know, Maidana hit the shit out of him, and I will give him respect for taking those punches and all. But regardless, I think that, like you basically both said, you put Adrian Broner in with a real fighter, somebody who's going to not really be enthralled by his bullshit, and somebody who's just going to throw punches, I think he loses. Carlos Molina, I think, was also kind of caught up in the moment, you know, in terms of on top of being outgunned and, you know, probably not being that good of a fighter, but he was able to take a handful of rounds from him by just throwing punches. So anyway, that's my take on Adrian Broner. Fuck that guy.
Yeah,
you guys,
I think,
go ahead.
I mean, I think the fact that they, you know, in the past, Broner could say anything he wants and Golden Boy would apologize and say, well, he's an entertainer. This is great. He's, you know, giving the fans what he wants. This is so entertaining, regardless of what he does. And then he said basically the same thing he's been saying after all his fights, you know, the can man spiel, which, you know, whatever. I'm not that offended by it. This is boxing and it's an ethnic, you know, based fan, you know, sport, so I wasn't, you know, offended.
It wasn't
by it,
intelligent enough
it,
to be insulting
no, it
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. So, you know, whatever he said, but this time they're, oh, you should probably apologize for that because people will get offended. which just tells you that he's slipping, and you know, in their eyes as well, about who he is, and you know how much longer they can enable this guy. When I think it's pretty obvious the upside's not that high for him.
Well, the resume is pretty thin. I mean, you look, actually, if you start parsing through it, you know, and basically he beat DeMarco at lightweight, who, you know, is a flawed fighter who had kind of, you know, by the skin of his teeth in kind of a very weak division, was maybe like a top five lightweight at the time they fought. And then you know, beating Pauly at welterweight, and again, that's Pauly. I mean, we saw what Sean Porter did with Pauly. So, the fact that he was at one point, like, the Ring Magazine number 5 pound for pound, ahead of guys like Rigondeaux and Pacquiao and, you know, any number of other guys. I think Golden Boy and whichever network, you know, formerly HBO and now Showtime, I mean, they really were trying to push the next Floyd angle a little bit too hard. I think his future, you know, he could still end up becoming a very good fighter. But, and actually, you know, the Maidana fight, it does look better. I mean, you just think about it. We know how tough Maidana is now. I mean, he just gave Floyd the best fight that anyone's given him in you know, 10 years. So,
he kept some guts and some heart to, you know, come through and fight hard at the end of that fight. But as any fighter that has been manufactured with the full force and effort of, you know, the promotional company to make someone something before they are, it's been Broner. It's, you know, it's been obvious from the very start. So, you know, I just take great pleasure in watching all those efforts come short through the reality of what's going to happen in the ring.
Has anyone figured out yet, though, how the hell Antonio DeMarco knocked out John Molina like that?
I mean, just my opinion, I think that, I don't know that John Molina's super great in terms of his overall quality, but I think that probably wasn't the best indication of his quality as a fighter. I think that he was probably either surprised, caught cold, whatever you want to call it. I mean, obviously he was punched, but he'd never been in that moment.
He didn't have an amateur career, so he wasn't used to, you know, fighting high stakes tournaments, this and that, you know, his whole life. It was a big moment. It was on HBO before he was an ESPN fighter against a lot of overmatched guys, and he just got caught. He got caught and he got hurt, and he didn't know how to react to it. And I think it was just a fluke. It was an odd fight.
I mean, he might have lost the fight anyway. He might have lost it anyway. Just, you know, the way he got caught kind of seemed to me
like he
was just really caught off guard.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, just crazy that guy ends up fighting the year with Lucas Matisse, who we all think is the biggest puncher, you know, since Sonny Liston.
True. Very true. Also involved with the mob. I'm kidding. He's not involved with the mob. I don't want anybody coming after me. Yeah,
he's
saying,
are the mob in Argentina?
Shit, dude. That'd be a scary-ass mob. Staying away from that fucking mob.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would definitely not... there would be no shit that I could talk about Adrian Broner if he really did wind up, you know, there's some kind of, you know, short rumors going on about potentially matching Broner and Matisse. So if Adrian Broner took on Maidana and then Matisse, I mean, I don't really know how I could talk any type of shit about that, even in losing, even if he wound up losing, which I think he would. Yeah, very few guys are willing to step in with both of those fucking badasses.
Yeah, he wants Pacquiao. I actually wouldn't think that is a bad idea for everyone involved.
Yeah, us included.
Yeah, I mean, it would actually be an entertaining fight. You could keep Oscar happy with the Cold War being warmed over. He could actually get a pay-per-view fight out of Broner before he gets beaten again. You know, it makes sense on some level.
Yeah, I never even thought about that.
It would have made sense if Broner hadn't lost to Maidana. You know, because then you could say, like, okay, Floyd, Pacquiao won't happen, but Broner's the next Floyd. But we've already seen him. I mean, there's just no – if we can't talk about Pacquiao Mayweather, we can't talk about Pacquiao Broner.
Yeah, man, I think this is a more realistic fight to be made from just the boxing business standpoint, if anything can be made, you know, between those groups. Because I think they –
Why not put Tim Bradley against Maidana?
Huh?
Put in Tim Bradley with like one of the Golden Boy guys. Why? I mean, like, you can't put Broner's done nothing.
Because they're going to give someone they want to get rid of, and I could see him wanting to get rid of Broner.
Broner Bradley. I mean, what's in it for Pacquiao to fight Broner? There's like nothing in it for him.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd have to look at what if Pacquiao has left. He's got Marquez, I suppose, and just as a fight that you can. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he could sell it or not.
Dude, I'd rather. I mean, he'd fight Jesse Vargas before he fights Broner. You know, I mean, if he's going to just fight, like, kind of a. I mean, unless Broner gets himself back. I'm just. I mean, for now, Broner's basically, like, an unranked
Broner
welterweight.
Broner would go to toe with Maidana.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, what's in it for Pacquiao? He could totally team up with Broner and do, like, a single. You kidding me? What's in it for Pacquiao? They could team up and make music, bro.
I think they could sell it, and they could sell it to the general public, and everyone could make money, and it would be Pacquiao would look good. They get rid of Broner.
So you'd be showing the highlights of Broner's like success in the late rounds against Maidana in the promo.
They can sell it any way they want, but.
Maidana would make more sense, I think, if Floyd decided not to do a rematch. Because then that's been the formula. I mean, for a while, you know, when the whole thing started, if you fight the other guys like leftover.
Yeah, I was thinking of more of just throwing Oscar a bone by giving him a fight with Top Rank. And then getting rid of some guy you don't really want, you know, anyways.
Yeah, but you can't risk Pacquiao in that fight, I don't think, you know. I mean, even though, of course, I think Pacquiao would probably destroy Broner, you just, I don't think you can risk Pacquiao against, you know, any other guys. I mean, like, that's not going to be the fight to end the Cold War, you know. I think you got to go with lower. I mean, you can't risk your biggest star. Because what happens if Broner lands, like, a miracle punch and knocks Pacquiao out? Then you've basically Golden Boys conquered the entire Top Rank empire in one fight.
That would be entertaining too.
I would jump off my roof, and if I survived, I would never watch boxing again.
So this must happen for the good of everyone who hates James Foley. This must happen.
Oh God!
All right. Well, let's move on from Pacquiao Broner to. Jay Leon Love versus Marco Antonio Pereban. Well, it was as we were calling for last week, at least a few of us were saying that we thought that Love versus Pereban was probably the most competitive fight on the card. I don't know that it really played out like that, but it was somewhat intriguing. It was watchable at the very least for an opening fight on a pay-per-view card. So I thought that Marco Antonio Pereban was going to be able to do a little bit more, especially in those later rounds against Jay Leon Love, considering he was able to shake him up a few times early on. I didn't even realize until it was like the eighth round that it wasn't a 12-round fight. I thought that they were making it a 12-rounder, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, well, Pereban's got a couple minutes left. He's got a few rounds to do something, and then the round ended, and I was like, oh, shit, you better kick it into high gear. It kind of looked to me like Pereban got his face busted up a little bit, kind of started panicking because of that. What was your guys' take on that fight?
Yeah, I had the same reaction. I don't think he reacted well to the cut at all. And you could see it in the corner, and I think they may now know that about him. They were to calm down. Like, the minute he came back from the cut, even the first round, they were telling him, you know, just calm down, it's no big deal. But it obviously affected how he fought that fight. I mean, I think he was definitely there. Love was definitely there to be taken, but he couldn't do it. I kept screaming at him to throw the right hand. He just wouldn't let it go. And his love did a good job boxing. He's got a beautiful jab. Real athletic. Very quick. But, I mean, I think to Parabon, you know, he lost his opportunity to win that fight for sure. And I think that has to do with he saw that blood and he shut down mentally.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
that was another fight on the card that, you know, it definitely wasn't as obvious, you know, as other fights where the officiating wasn't great. But, you know, this was another fight on the card where there were a handful of times where I was thinking that Jay Nady is pretty crappy in general, but there were a handful of times where I thought Jay Nady could have stepped in and been like, okay, release the guy from your fucking clutches. But aside from that, yeah, I thought that a lot of it fell on Parabon just kind of being inexperienced or tripping out a little bit.
Yeah. And Love's shown, you know, he's shown some heart in the Rosado fight. Also, you know, he came back from, you know, being hurt and being challenged and coming back and getting himself right back into the fight. You can't undersell that about a fighter that they're able to do that. And I don't know what his upside is. I don't think it's a world champion upside, but, you know, he's really progressed from what he's a better fighter than I ever thought he would based off of, you know, some of his early fights with Derek Finley and some of those guys where I just thought he was, you know, he's just a one-handed man. He's developing. He's got a good trainer. He's a better fighter than I thought. I don't know how good he's actually going to be.
What do you think, James?
I mean, I thought the same kind of, you know, it's pretty much Joel pretty much spoke for me there, too, you know. I mean, I think Love looks better, but, you know, now he's at 168. I mean, is he really going to be, you know, contending top of the division? Probably not, but I look forward to watching him, you know, continue forward. I think a fight like, you know, Edwin Rodriguez might be a good fight for him. But I can't ignore, you know, Rosado giving him such a tough fight. And, you know, Parabon, I thought, was on the verge of knocking him out in the fifth round and may have, you know, without Nady being kind of meddling into it so much. But I don't know. I mean, it was an exciting fight, and I'll keep watching, but I imagine at some point, you know, he's going to step up in competition and probably come up short.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that that's probably – well, I said during the fight, and then I said later on after the fight, after I kind of, you know, had time to think about it a little bit. But just the way that he operates, he's one of those types of fighters that has decently quick hands, decently quick feet. He throws punches, you know, in a good way. You know, he has quick hands, like I said, and pretty good technique. The problem is that he doesn't move his feet or anything like that while he's punching. He doesn't move his head while he's punching. He basically just he's stiff as a board and just sitting there kind of chopping away. And that's how Parabon was able to catch him a few times. So I just can't imagine him standing up against an elite level, you know, especially not at super middleweight with a handful of guys there. I think would probably just chop him right over.
Any of the top guys right now, I think, will just totally decimate Love. But they got to keep building him. They can't just put him up there in those fights yet. I mean, if they think that he's ready for that, then they're fools. But I think he can be developed to become better. I don't know if he's got enough time already being at the level that he's at and, you know, to get there. But any of the top guys would crush him.
So that was for the WBA International whatever bullshit. So who is the WBA world guy at 168? Let's see.
Huh?
Not that it matters. That'll just tell us, like, who's Love, like, kind of moving towards fighting. You know, who has the guy that he's challenging. One of those guys. Yeah, I don't even know. It might be Andre Ward.
Some guy.
Well, hey, maybe when Ward signs to TMT Promotions, they can feed. That's Carl Frosch's belt. So I think Love will become, like, you know, he's on track to being a mandatory for the Frosch and Groves rematch winner. maybe a fight or two down the line. But yeah, regardless, I mean, who would you guys take if Love fought Saki or Bika?
Bika.
Probably Bika. I'm not a big fan of the way that he operates, and he's kind of tough to watch sometimes, but he's a son of a bitch in there, and I think he'd probably beat Love.
Yeah, he's going to whack him to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, another kind of semi-story going into that fight as well was that Marco Antonio Pettibon was kind of he was thought of as a bit of a prospect or whatever going into the fight too, or, you know, a hopeful, a talent, whatever you want to call it. So that was kind of another piece of that. What's that?
Didn't he fight Bika and it was like a reasonably close fight? I mean, Bika won, but it was kind of a wild brawl at times.
Yeah, and
yeah,
it was close enough that, you know.
I mean, you had the
distance
with Bika. Says something.
Yeah, I kind of thought that he probably deserved to win, but it was a close, you know, kind of crappy, muscly round fight. But yeah, and in any event, my point was more just that, like, he was coming into the fight himself. It wasn't like the story was all about Jay Leon Love. You know, Marco Antonio Pettibon was also a bit of a, you know, a name or whatever himself. So I thought that it was also kind of disappointing to see him fall apart the way that he did. You know, whether it was his face, his stamina, whatever it was, he kind of just unraveled there, you know, when his face came unraveled. So I'm not entirely sure what to think about him going forward.
He's going to regret that fight for a long time in his performance in that fight. There is opportunity to win that fight, you know, in front of, you know, a lot of eyes watching him. And he didn't perform.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they should get a little Jay Leon Love, Anthony Durrell.
Here we go.
That's not a bad thought. Yeah, that's not a bad thought.
Because Durrell got a draw against Bika, right? Even though I thought Bika won.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was also a tough fight. So, all right. All in all, was this fight card, I don't know if either of you guys bought it, streamed it, whatever, but the overall cost of these cards, you know, $60 to $80, depending where you are and who your provider is and all that type of shit, was this card worth it? Was this card worth buying?
I mean, I didn't buy it. I went to a friend's house. I'm not going to buy another pay-per-view card, maybe ever. when it's $75, I don't care who's fighting. That price is just ridiculous. But I mean, I left entertained. You know, if Floyd went a 12-round route of Marcos, then I probably would have felt like I just went to a carnival for 6 hours and felt real gross. But you know, it was a good, entertaining night of boxing.
Yeah.
Delivered.
What was that, James?
No, yeah, it definitely, I mean, it delivered. You know, it delivered some action. I mean, it was the best, most entertaining Floyd fight, possibly, you know, ever, but going back a long time. And
yeah, I mean, he's done, in some sense, he's lucky if it was like that. Because everyone I talk to, there's a lot of boxing fans in the area that I live in, and everyone's like, nah, I ain't going to get it. Floyd's just going to rout him. It's going to be another Floyd fight. And it wasn't another Floyd fight. So, you know, maybe the next Floyd fight, people are going to be, maybe we'll see this guy beat Floyd. So, you know, I think for Floyd business, I don't think it was particularly a bad result.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Well, what do you think, James?
Yeah, I think the same. I mean, wait, what was the exact question again?
Whether or not you thought the pay-per-view was worth it, was worth your money.
Again, that kind of depends. I mean, if you know, the bottom line is, like, if you want to see it, okay, obviously there's other means to obtain the fight beyond just like ordering the pay-per-view. But if you want, you know, if you want to see it legally, I mean, you have to pay, somebody has to pay for it, you know, so you have to go to somebody's house, you have to do it that way, or go to a bar or whatever. And, you know, I can't, I mean, that's just what it is. You know, it's seven, it's, I think it's too expensive myself, but, it's kind of just what you have to do if you want to watch the fight. And so was it worth watching it? Yeah, I think so. I mean, the fact that the main event, you know, it's going to go down as one of the most memorable fights. It might, you know, that might be the, who knows what, where the Mayweather saga goes from here. This could end up being kind of a pivotal turning point, or it could just be, you know, a one-time thing. It was this really, you know, exciting fight that Floyd very nearly lost, to a guy, you know, put up a really great performance. It was definitely worth watching. I mean, I didn't think the undercard was anything special, but it was the undercard. You know, I thought the Khan fight and the Love fight were both interesting enough.
Well, I think that the perception going into the card was probably negative enough that the buy rate is will probably be lower than what they want. But at the same time, those who did buy it and perhaps bought it reluctantly probably walked away satisfied enough to, like Joel said, want to buy the next Floyd Mayweather card, or maybe be a little bit more optimistic towards buying the next Floyd Mayweather card, especially if it's Maidana. So, you know, I'm not entirely sure that I'm kind of like Joel, where I'm not entirely sure paying $65, $70, $75, $80 for a pay-per-view card is worth it, even if it is kind of in line financially. You know, with, you're going through the money matrix of whatever with inflation and all this type of shit. It is kind of in line with what we were paying for pay-per-views in, you know, 1992 or something like that. But regardless, it's still a large chunk of money. And more often than not, I'm not going to be buying pay-per-view cards, especially going into
a rush. I mean, are they all going to be $75 going forward? I mean, what's the
Well, it varies just by where I am.
It's insane. It keeps going up $5 every fight.
It varies, at least where I am, it varies by card. Like, but it seems to me kind of like the Floyd Canelo card. I think that was 85 in HD here. And basically what I had read was that they're not really going down very much from that, that it's going to continue to go up. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're hoping you guys just didn't notice that they were raising the price every time.
Yeah, I noticed, but fuck. Well,
I would not have recommended somebody to have bought this card. You know, so I don't think it really changes the fact that, like, you know, Mayweather Maidana, it wasn't, with especially with the undercard they put together, I didn't think it was, like, great value for $75 or whatever. It just turned out that if you happen to order it, you know, you got a surprisingly a really good competitive main event. And if you're a hardcore boxing fan, I mean, how can you not watch, you know, the pound-for-pound number one guy in the sport? I mean, you're going to watch these fights. You know, they were high-profile fights. So, you know, it delivered on it, and I think it's a good thing that the fight was action-packed. It would definitely won't hurt sales going forward, but I do imagine that the numbers for the moment are going to end up being pretty disappointing. I just, from what I kind of felt, just the buzz of people I know, people at work, things I was seeing out, you know, on TV and the internet, I didn't think this was as big. I mean, it definitely didn't feel as big as the Canelo event, which is obviously huge. And coming off of Pacquiao Bradley, you know, supposed to get 800,000 pay-per-view buys or something like that, I'm very interested to see, you know, what this fight did. Because Maidana being as big of an underdog, and most boxing writers and pundits predicting that Floyd would win a pretty uneventful, you know, wide decision, and Maidana having pretty, you know, not much of a name outside of, like, very hardcore boxing circles, you know, all those things I don't think added up to a very good you know, pay-per-view buy projection. And maybe that's why in the week leading up to the fight, Mayweather and the money team, you know, had a couple extracurricular ways to get their name into the news and, you know, onto the front of ESPN.com. You know, Mayweather could buy the LA Clippers, you know, considering buying the LA Clippers and that kind of shit. So
despite not having enough money.
right? That, among other things. But we're never going to find out. We're probably never even going to find out what the actual number is. We'll hear that it's, like, rumored to be, like, 800 or 850, and then, you know, they'll swear that it did over a million, and it'll just be, like, Guerrero. We'll never know. But I don't think it – I'm guessing it probably was on the low side of expectations. Not that it's going to cripple that. I mean, 800, 850, 900, that's still a really big number. But it's not, you know, it's not 2.5 million. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, by the way, real quick, Joel, I know that whenever you need to go ahead and, you know, you don't have to feel obligated to stay or anything like that.
Yeah, I have to head off.
What's that?
I'm gonna hang up in a minute, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, before we go, we have like 15 roughly minutes left. Before we go, this next coming week, we're speaking about, you know, having to pay for fights and stuff like that. Well, ESPN wound up picking up the rematch between Berman Stivern and Chris Arreola. So before we go, I wanted to talk about that real quick, if we could. Basically, the story as I see it is that kind of similarly to other fights, Chris Arreola is claiming that he's different this time. He's trained harder this time. He's got back in the gym. He didn't gain as much weight, et cetera, et cetera. So that seems to be his line, you know, his selling point or whatever. He didn't really come in incredibly light or light-looking against Seth Mitchell, but didn't really wind up mattering. Against Bermain Stivern, a guy who wobbled him, beat him pretty decisively, is anything going to change, guys?
I'm going to leave at this point because I don't follow heavyweights. I don't really have anything to add. this time is different, I'm sure. As he said, so I enjoyed the show, and I will talk to you guys. All right.
Thanks. All right, man. Later.
And I just wanted to say that, man, he has my second favorite goatee in the business behind Ellerby.
Yeah, he has a pretty solid goatee, that's for sure. That's why I had to get that screen capture of him while I was watching the fight that he was coaching for on CBS Sports.
I'm glad somebody did that.
Totally did.
I totally did.
Nice. So back to this heavyweight fight that Joel Stern's too good to talk about. What do you think?
I'm very intrigued by it. You know, I mean, I think it's possible Arreola could have a better result this time. I think it's going to be exciting. I thought the first fight was actually a really good fight. And, you know, seeing Arreola get smashed with that big right hand, and it broke his nose and his face gushing blood. I mean, and the fact that he got up and fought through it the entire fight and some good exchanges. I mean, it was, you know, it was quite a spectacle, and it was actually a really good fight. Kind of got lost, and it was on that weird night when Sergio fought Martin Murray down in Argentina, and they were like going back and forth between the feeds, and then they had to move up that fight. So I can't remember if HBO, I think HBO showed the Arreola Stivern fight, but it was on a replay like later. Just interesting. I mean, it's just a good matchup. We've seen it once. It was a good fight. Stivern, I think, surprised a lot of people. So, you know, this is going to prove whether, you know, he just had a really good night and Arreola got caught early and broke his nose and, you know, that was the story, or whether, you know, Stivern can actually, you know, again demonstrate superiority as a better fighter. I really don't know what to expect. But I you know, if I had to pick, I kind of have a feeling that Arreola might be able to get it together and outpoint him this time. Probably a dumb pick, though.
I don't really think it's that dumb of a pick, though, because I asked about this yesterday on Twitter, and I was kind of trying to get some feedback, and it seemed that, you know, there were actually a number of people that were, at the very least, rooting for Chris Arreola to turn it around and get a win. But also there were people whose opinions I think are valid that are picking him, and I think that it's easy, well, for obvious reasons, it's easy to say, well, you know, he probably hasn't changed his training habits. He probably still got fat between fights, because that's a safe thing to say, because we've already heard this a number of times. We've heard it just like we've heard it from, you know, numerous other guys that, oh, well, they're in shape this time. You know, they got their head screwed on right this time. It's like Zab Judah. you know, well, this time he's going to put it all together because he's got the talent, and it generally doesn't happen. So it's easy to kind of dismiss the, well, I've gotten back in the gym type of stuff. However, what I think also kind of might kick it in Areola's direction a little bit more is that Bermain Stivern, like every single Don King fighter in the last, like, 15 years, has fallen into that friggin' trap of signing with Don King and then fighting, like, once every, like, year to year and a half to 2 years, where they just, like, don't ever fight. And, of course, Stivern hasn't fought since the first Areola fight. Now, Areola only, you know, fought Seth Mitchell, and it was a short fight, so it's not like he had a ton of, you know, an advantage there. But he did get into the ring, and he had the advantage of having another training camp. So.
Yeah, I think it's better for boxing, or more interesting anyway, if Stivern wins again. Because, you know, then at least you have a new guy who we haven't seen, you know, lose to the Klitschko's yet. And you know, maybe there's hope he can go forward. But either way, I think, you know, the winner of this fight is a really good fight for some, you know, Deontay Wilder. I think that could be really exciting, you know, especially seeing him against a pressure guy like Areola who can take a punch and handle adversity. I think that's the perfect kind of matchup for Deontay. And if Stivern beats him again, then, you know, he deserves to get that kind of a fight too. I mean, he actually probably on paper might be comp like a title challenger and get a crack at Vladimir. And, you know, considering guys like what's that dude's name, Leopai, getting shots in there, I the idea of Stivern or Deontay or even fucking, you know, Seth Mitchell getting Klitschko is probably not that ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they're scraping the bottom of the fucking barrel.
Yeah, that was kind of an embarrassment. And that's what's you know, funny about, you know, is Wilder ready for the Klitschko's? It's like, well, come on. I mean, he's already better than a lot of the guys that they're fighting.
Yeah, that's true. The only difference is that, like, he doesn't have the formal, you know, on-paper experience or whatever. But like we've said numerous times, there's such a huge gap between just about everybody else and the Klitschko's. Who exactly is Deontay Wilder going to fight? Who exactly, precisely, is he going to fight that is going to make you say, all right, he's ready to beat Vladimir Klitschko? There's really nobody. There's nobody at all.
Right.
So in the meantime, if he's going to be getting matched against a guy like, you know, the winner of the rematch between Stivern and Areola, that makes sense. You know, if it's not going to be Klitschko now, then one of these types of guys, that's who it should be. Or the winner of Fury Chisora 2, you know, guys like that. These are the guys that they should be fighting. So yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting matches beneath the top level, but at the same time, you know, to just kind of say like, oh, Klitschko is unbeatable. It's like the same trap we fall into with Mayweather. You know, Klitschko is just egregiously guilty of that. I mean, he and his brother fought like everyone at the top of the division for years, granted. But, you know, the last year or two, I mean, there are some kind of intriguing contenders moving up the rankings here, and they're fighting a lot of really guys who even most of American fans have never heard of. They have, you know, undefeated records, come out of Europe, or a guy like Leopai, who had already lost, knocked out by Kevin Johnson a couple years ago. And just from the performances, I mean, you can tell that these guys aren't good fighters. You know, I mean, like, Povetkin, like, yeah, he earned his way to the Klitschko shot and came up way short. But there's no reason guys like Wilder or Fury or any of these guys don't deserve to get in the ring with him just in the climate that we're in. And maybe eventually somebody does give him a good fight. But there has to be better challengers out there than Leopai, you know?
Yeah, at this point it's kind of...
On steroids, he later tested positive for steroids. He just took like a beating for 12 rounds.
I don't even know, man. I pretty much stopped paying attention. I mean, and it's not like I'm too good for the heavyweights or I just don't pay attention to the heavyweights. I just kind of like, I'm losing interest in the whole, like, I'm more interested in the guys that are fighting each other to get a shot at Klitschko. And then once they get there, I'm kind of like, all right, I'm good. Because I already know for the most part what's going to happen. You know, but are you talking about Char? Is that who that was?
No, yeah, I'm just looking at him. I think it was the guy who fought Vladimir, actually.
I don't even know, man.
It is, but it's not even worth looking up.
Yeah, no, I don't want to.
totally get put on Interpol's list or some shit if I look that shit up. I mean, yeah, it's at the end of the day, I don't really think super, super highly of Chris Arreola, especially because of the constant excuse making and the way that he gets out of shape and et cetera, et cetera. But it's true, you know, even at least at the very least in the first fight with Stivern, nobody was really able to kind of just take the fight out of him the way that Stivern did, even against Vitaly Klitschko. Chris Arreola, you know, I mean, he got the shit kicked out of him, but he still kind of kept coming forward and kept trying. And against Stivern, it was a little bit different. It was kind of like he got totally dismantled and kind of dispirited, probably because of his nose. So, you know, there's a couple different dynamics working there that, you know, I think that especially with ESPN getting involved, with ESPN setting this up so that we don't have to see it on HBO or we don't have to see it on Showtime or whatever, I think that's a good thing overall. You know, and I hope that ESPN continues to kind of try to snag, I guess, somewhat bigger fights like this, not weight-wise, but in terms of notoriety.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Got high hopes, dude.
High apple pie, high hopes.
Even though the Klitschko fight was pretty terrible, you know, it still was kind of worthy that it was on free, you know, cable TV across the U.S. in the middle of Saturday afternoon. I mean, it's the type of events that deserve to be on. And
if that's what we're going to have, then, yeah, it better be something substantial if that's what we're going to have. And, I mean, you know, I think that what we kind of haven't really brought up a bunch is that, you know, the first Stivern-Arreola fight was pretty decent as far as action goes. It wasn't, you know, a total shitty fight or anything like that. So ESPN reaching out and grabbing this fight also is good in the sense that I think that they're making a good decision and, you know, they're reaching out for a fight that we've already kind of seen that was good. So at the very least, you know, there's that as well.
Oh, it has potential. It has potential to be a good fight. Is there anything on the undercard?
You know what? I didn't even look because I didn't even think we would get this far in the show. Like, because I had a whole bunch of like other little things like mapped out. Like,
what else you got? You got rapid fire. You got two minutes.
All right, so about 2.5 minutes left. I had read that more or less Gennady Golovkin versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is for all intents and purposes dead. It is probably not going to happen, I've read, because Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., in as a condition of accepting that fight, needs to extend a contract with Top Rank. And he says he doesn't want to do that. So that fight is pretty much dead. Yep. And then the only other big thing that I had was a quick discussion on Marquez versus Alvarado. So, and I didn't think we'd be able to get through that either because, yeah, well, we're kind of short on time. But the first part I was pretty bummed about.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it sucks. And I wish Top Rank would just let him have the fight and not try to extend his contract. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's how the business goes, right? I mean, they did the same thing to Tim Bradley, too. And I just wish that, you know, I think it's bullshit. I mean, the fighters should have the right to, like, make these fights, you know, one fight at a time. And what's the issue, you know? So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know enough about the business to really have an informed opinion about it. But for, you know, it's from the sound of it, I just wish that they would just let the fight happen. You know, I understand wanting to get an extension, but if he doesn't want to, then you know what the fuck? I mean,
yeah, and it's likely an exciting enough fight that I was, you know, I'm just bummed about it not happening because I wanted it to happen. So,
yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we have about a minute left. So that was the main thing that I wanted to get out there because, I don't know, I'm pretty sure you're bummed about it too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's close it down, I guess. Wanted to thank Mr. Joel Stern, who, again, I was saying I haven't seen him contribute anything to Sweet Science for a little while, but he has in the past. Keep a lookout for him there. And also on Twitter, he is EfronB. Check him out there. So in any event, UC Davis, assistant boxing coach, thanks again for being on. James Foley writes for BadLeftHook.com. Go check out his stuff. Check out my stuff, QueensberryRules.com. Everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we will more than likely see you next week. Thanks again, everybody. Take it easy.